Hello, and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And today we're taking a look at three strong stocks to consider buying now or in the near future amid the massive market sell-off to consider holding for the long haul. But before we get into everything, remember to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcast. And make sure to check out our new Zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. So before we jump into the three stocks, it's worth diving into the broader market. As I said, it's pretty chaotic out there at the moment. So we're going to run through some of the basics before we dive into these three stocks. So the NASDAQ officially entered correction territory last Wednesday. So that means it's down by at least 10% or more from its peaks. So that was from its mid-November highs. The tech-heavy index also fell below its 200-day moving average last week for the first time since the initial COVID sell-off. And things, as most of you obviously know, have gotten much worse since then, with the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 both finishing their worst weeks since the pandemic began last week, and then all three major U.S. indexes with them falling for the third consecutive week as the rough start to 2022 continued. And then we now have the NASDAQ down around 18% from its records, with it falling even further on Monday. So the S&P 500 is now down around 12% into a correction itself, and now finally below its 200-day moving average for also the first time since the initial COVID sell-off. So things were down pretty bad this morning, and then before I started, things had gotten even worse. The last time I looked, the NASDAQ was down around 4%, with the S&P 500 down around 3.5%. As I'm looking at this, well, now it's 3.5% and 3%. For the S&P, and the Dow's down about 2.5%. So things have been going back and forth so far on Monday morning, but obviously you can see that the selling is continuing. So the rough start to 2022 comes amid mounting concerns about lingering COVID worries, rising prices, then following those rising prices are higher interest rates, which negatively impact growth-focused companies the most. We then saw the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield hit two-year highs last week, at around 1.88%. Since then, though, the yields have slipped back. We're 10 years at around 1.72% at the moment. So taking a step back, it does seem that perhaps this correction and at least the broad selling was due. And it could simply be a buying opportunity for those with longer-term investment horizons, because the NASDAQ is still up over 40% in the past 2 years, and it's now down about 2% in the last 12 months, which means buyers are essentially going to start stepping in soon, because we've erased, for some of these companies that had huge COVID gains, 2 years worth of growth in the matter of a couple of weeks in some cases. The S&P 500 is now up about 13% in the last year and 35% in the past 2 years. So this downturn has also helped that look a little more reasonable. And more importantly, we should note that the outlook for the S&P 500 earnings, revenue, and margins remains strong despite all of the supply chain issues and rising prices. This is for 2022 and 2023. So we're calling for big growth on top of massive growth in 2021, both this year and next. And we should note that interest rates will have to climb a lot higher before they make stocks look broadly unappealing, with the 10-year U.S. Treasury rarely and barely above 3% in the last decade. We should also note that the recent sell-off has the S&P 500 trading at 19.2, so around 19 times forward 12-month earnings, which marked a slight discount to where it was in February of 2020. So that's before the COVID sell-off. So the valuation has come down significantly amid all this selling. It's now trading at by far its lowest level in the past year. So as I said, eventually, if you're a longer-term investor, if you were in some of these stocks recently or in any of the stocks that are going down, you're going to, if you thought they were good stocks 6 months ago, you definitely think they're good stocks now, with the S&P 500 trading where it was before the COVID sell-offs. So on top of that, nearly everything is way below oversold RSI levels. So that's 30 or lower with SPY. So that's the S&P 500 tracking ETF, the big one, is sitting at 20, so way below oversold RSI levels, with the NASDAQ 100 tracking QQQ ETF at 21. So things have just been hammered. We're now, as I said, the NASDAQ's now almost into a bear market. It's almost down 20% from its highs. The S&P 500 is down well over 10% into a correction as well. S&P 500 is now trading at levels in terms of forward earnings where it was before the COVID sell-off. So things have happened very quickly, but if you're a longer-term investor, some of these levels, just you have to be a buyer if you're considering holding stocks for years and years and years to come, especially if you're not thinking about selling for the next 5 or 10 years. Just you have to scoop up stocks that are strong when they become discounted, which is what the big movers and shakers on Wall Street are certainly going to be doing in the next several days. Obviously, we could see more selling in the near term. It's impossible, pretty impossible to call the bottom, but you don't need necessarily try to call the exact bottom because that can prevent you from missing out on some of these big downturns, which we saw over the last several years and especially in that COVID sell-off. So with this in mind, we're going to dive into three stocks that look strong at the moment, especially strong considering that they're now trading at solid discounts to where they have been recently. And the first stock up we're looking at today is Target, which trades under the ticker TGT. So the stock went on a huge run before COVID, and then it really soared for roughly a year and a half as consumers flocked to its one-stop shop offerings that also has more e-commerce options than ever before and much more. So obviously some investors might be worried that they, quote, missed their chance on Target, yet Target stock is currently sitting at enticing levels for those with long-term horizons, especially considering its solid fundamentals. So we're going to dive into some of the basics for Target. So Target is really a one-stop shop, and various reasons, big businesses dominating small businesses, and it's just going to continue to go in this direction. Target's e-commerce growth helped business boom during the heart of the pandemic, and those offerings will see it succeed in a retail age where customers want as many options as possible to buy. So last year, its comparable digital sales soared about 150%, with same-day services up 235%. The same-day offerings include in-store pickup, drive-up, its Instacart-style shipped unit, and others. So along with these new age shopping efforts, the Minneapolis-based retailer has focused even more heavily on its own in-house brands for everything from fashion and food to furniture and more. And these various store brands have succeeded because of its ability to adapt and stay on trend while remaining affordable. Target's growing slate of in-house brands have also helped it separate from rivals like Walmart and Costco within some key demographics, despite coming up against an extremely difficult to compete against year of 20% revenue expansion in 2020, which compares to around 3.5% sales growth for several years leading up to 2020. Target continued its rapid sales growth during the first three quarters of 2021. It reported 23% sales growth in Q1, 10% in Q2, and then 13% in Q3. With its Q3 comps up 13% to top 21% expansion the year ago. So massive growth continuing at Target. Last quarter's growth was also driven by a big jump in in-store traffic as shoppers are finally flocking back to Target locations for in-person shopping. All of its segments also remain strong, with all five of its core merchandise categories posting double-digit comps growth last quarter. Looking ahead, Zach Sessman's call for Target's 2021 revenue to climb another 14% from around $94 billion to $107 billion. Meanwhile, its adjusted earnings are projected to surge another 40%, which would come on top of 47% EPS expansion last year. So peeking a little bit further ahead, its 2022 revenue is projected to pop another 2.3% to help push its earnings slightly higher above back-to-back years of massive growth, which is really impressive. Next year's estimates clearly are marking a slowdown compared to those COVID-boosted results in 2020 and the continued strength of 2021, but the firm's earnings and revenue outlook have continued to improve throughout the last year, so that could continue when it reports its Q4 results later. And then Target's consensus earnings estimates for the Q4 of 2021 and fiscal 2022 have popped following its Q3 release. And executives also remain optimistic in the face of global supply chain bottlenecks and rising prices. We should also note that Target earnings revisions have climbed since its last report, and it's seen some positivity recently. It's also beaten our EPS estimates in the trailing 12 quarters. So in terms of some other fundamentals, Target's management team is focused on higher than industry average margins. The company is able to achieve these via various efforts, including strong supply chains and its ability to fulfill 95% or more of its sales, including those e-commerce purchases from its own stores. and the rapid success of its in-house private label brands have also helped keep its margins impressive for its industry, especially compared to Amazon and Walmart. So in fact, Target said in November that it continues to expect its full-year operating income margin rate will be at 8% or higher. It raised its guidance at the time for its vital holiday shopping quarter. We should also note that Target flexed its fiscal stability and confidence when it raised its dividend by 32% over the summer. Its current yield is about 1.68%. This tops the S&P 500's 1.3% average, and its industry is 0.83% average, and it's really not that far off from the 10-year yield at the moment. In terms of performance, Target shares have soared around 190% in the last 3 years. This crushes Walmart's 42% climb. As we alluded to, with all of these stocks we're going to talk about today, it has cooled off in the back half of last year, with the stock up around 13% in the last 12 months. Target's now currently trading, though, roughly 20% beneath its mid-November records. The downturn pushed Target below both its 50-day and 200-day moving averages, where it hasn't stayed for long in the past several years. We should also note that stock is now trading about where it was last May. Better yet, the stock is trading at a 20% discount to its two-year median and 35% below its highs in terms of forward earnings. We should also note that it's trading at a nearly 8% discount to where it was before the COVID sell-off in terms of forward earnings. Wall Street's also continuing to remain very high on Target despite the downturn, with 15 of the 19 brokerage recommendations that we have at strong buys, with the remaining four sitting at holds. And investors might want to consider adding Target and other stocks amid this downturn that have strong earnings power and stable businesses, as we're in a pretty unknown situation in terms of what the Fed's going to do with interest rates amid all of these rising prices, and Wall Street's continuing to dump these growth-focused tech names amid also dropping huge stocks as well that have proven they can grow. So if you're a longer-term investor, Target's certainly one to consider amid its recent downturn that's extending amid the continued sell-off in the last several sessions. Now we're going to move into a stock that's needed no introduction, and the company's needed no introduction in decades, and that is Apple. The stock is down roughly 15%, around 14.5% from its early January highs, ahead of its first quarter fiscal 2022 financial release on this Thursday, January 27th. So some investors might want to wait until after Apple reports, but if you're a longer-term holder, you don't necessarily, as we mentioned, need to try to time it so specifically. So now we're going to make the broader, simple case for Apple and then look into some more specifics and what the stock's done recently. So Apple is a consumer electronics and branding titan who grew its sales by 6% to $275 billion during the heart of a global pandemic, and that's not even counting what they did last year. So many customers continue to really just upgrade to new iPhones, Macs, Apple Watches, and other devices habitually. Even if there aren't game-changing differences in the devices, I'm sure some people listening know they're a part of that camp. I myself am a part of that camp with the iPhone. Many Apple customers rarely even consider buying anything other than an iPhone, opting to stay within that broader Apple universe for various reasons. Apple's long-term growth case is really not that difficult to make in a world of smartphone addicts and device addicts, and especially as it continues to grow its subscription business. So CEO Tim Cook and the company are transforming Apple far beyond an iPhone company, and they hope to continually make money from its loyal and growing customer base. So the iPhone still accounts for by far the largest portion of Apple's sales, but its services have helped pick up the slack, especially in these non-release quarters and periods. And the unit's now clearly the second biggest revenue driver. So it pulled in about $68 billion in 2021 versus $38 billion for third place, which is the wearables, home, and accessories unit. Apple, in early 2021, so essentially a year ago, said they had over 1 billion active iPhones and 1.7 billion active devices. And it said in Q4 that it reached new all-time highs. So maybe we'll expect to hear specific numbers once again from Apple when it reports its results later this week. So with this in mind, its paid subscriptions surged 27% last quarter to 745 million. These offerings include everything from music and fitness, and they come on top of its highly lucrative App Store business. Apple is also bringing more of its chips in-house, which is crucial to its long-term success. Plus, it could really enter any number of futuristic growth areas soon or down the road, given its massive pile of cash. The company closed last year with $191 billion in cash and marketable securities, versus around $66 billion in net cash, which is its cash minus all its debt. So it has $66 billion in just cash. It could pay off all of its debt tomorrow if it wanted to. It's obviously not going to do that for various reasons that we don't need to get into. This impressive free cash flow also, on top of that, helped to return about $24 billion to shareholders in Q4 through dividends and buybacks. So now we're going to look at some of the top and bottom line growth, which gives you a sense of how they're able to just have all of this cash on hand. So Apple's fiscal 2021 revenue soared 33% to top 6% growth in 2020. Last year's top line expansion marked its best growth since 2012. And it topped 2015's 28% growth. So last year was a huge year for Apple. Looking ahead, Zacks estimates are calling for sales to climb another 5% in 2022 and then 7% higher in 2023 to reach $410 billion. And this is up from $366 in 2021. So just continuing to pull in so much revenue. It's honestly just mind-blowing when you think about how much they're going to do. Meanwhile, Apple's adjusted earnings are set to pop 4% in 2022, and this is after they surged 71% last year and then climb another 7% higher in 2023. Its earnings revisions have been broadly positive since its last report, and it currently lands a Zacks rank number 3 hold at the moment. We should also note that given this backdrop, it's really no surprise that the world's most valuable company's stock has skyrocketed over 300% in the last 3 years to destroy the Zacks tech sector of about 95% run. Investors should also recognize that this includes periods of declines and sideways movement, with the stock up just about 11% now in the last 12 months. So once again, if you're a longer-term investor, you don't necessarily need to be worried as much about these monthly or weekly or daily fluctuations if you're going to be holding for years and years, if not decades. So Apple's recent pullback has it now below its 50-day moving average, and it's closing in, and by the time I'm saying this, it could be right at these levels. It's closing in on oversold RSI levels. It's sitting at right around 31, so just at that threshold before some technical focused traders might just start to jump in. The stock is also trading at a 20% discount to its two-year highs at 27.3 times forward 12-month earnings, and it comes in not too far above its two-year median and only at a slight premium compared to tech as a whole, despite its significant outperformance. Some investors might obviously think it's too easy to buy Apple or fear, like with Target, they've already missed out. But don't avoid this money-making machine and really the tech powerhouse of the time that continues to grow simply because it appears too straightforward. That's not helping your case. If you want to own Apple in your portfolio, it's certainly not a bad idea. And Apple remains extremely high, or Wall Street remains extremely high on Apple in general, with 18 of the 22 brokerage recommendations that we have coming in at strong buys, with 3 more buys and only 1 hold. So now really might be a solid time to add Apple as a portfolio pillar for the long haul and a near-term safety play, though you might want to wait for its results later this week if you don't like to buy right around the uncertainty of an earnings release. Speaking of a company who just released its earnings that had a massive sell-off, so it might have been better to wait if you could buy it at an even cheaper price, because it was already heading on a downturn since November and to start 2022. And Netflix, which is the last stock we're going to talk about, plummeted after, quote, disappointing Q4 report on January 20th. So the stock is now trading where it was at certain points in 2018 and 2019, with it down about 50% from its mid-November records. It fell at one point last week 20% in a day. It's down 10% today, the last time I looked. So we'll go over some of the recent results from the fourth quarter to see why people are so nervous and why it might also be a great time to consider buying Netflix. So in terms of the recent setbacks, Netflix added 8.3 million paid subscribers during the quarter, which was its best growth in a year, as the company has dealt with the aftermath of that pandemic pull-forward effect. That said, it did fall a little bit short of overall Wall Street estimates that had been calling for 8.5 million additions. Worse still, the company is projecting to add about 2.5 million net new subscribers for the current quarter, so Q1, which was below some Wall Street expectations. The company also cited COVID overhang and macroeconomic hardships in several parts of the world as a reason for that weak view. And this could be kind of the crux of all of the recent selling. On top of that, Netflix really for the first time ever acknowledged in a letter to shareholders that it's a growing number of streaming services, its rivals from Disney and HBO Max and Amazon Prime and every other company who's now in the streaming business, quote, may be affecting our marginal growth some. So the competition in that industry growth might finally be catching up to Netflix. Still, the company is projected at 8% more users year over year this quarter versus 9% in Q4 and close Q1 of 2022 with 224 million users, which makes it still the largest subscription-based streaming service in the world. This is there's obviously some market saturation in Netflix is experiencing certainly a ton of that in the U.S. and North America, but it has growth opportunities around the world. And we should also note that the cord cutting age is only going in one direction. So there are going to be more people signing up for Netflix and less people are also likely to dump Netflix. So they're going to be able to continue growing this subscription business for years. And the company also has plans to grow its business in various ways, which we'll get to a little bit. And it raised its price for its monthly plans for the first time since 2020 and announced that a few weeks ago. So the monthly cost of its basic plan in the U.S., jumped $1 to $9.99 a month, and its standard plan increased from essentially $14 to around $15.50, with its premium plan up $2 from $18 to $20, even though they used $19.99. Outside of the U.S., meanwhile, though, the company is a little bit more focused on cost-cutting measures in some places to have the service be more attractive and competitive compared to some of its peers. So now let's move on a little bit more to the broader case for why Netflix might be worth considering despite it plummeting in the last several days, with it now trading about 50% off its recent highs. So the streaming TV pioneer was an early pandemic winner, and then, as we mentioned a little bit, it eventually suffered a pull forward in users. It also faces increased competition from Disney, Amazon, Apple. Nearly every major media company has its own streaming business now as it tries to overtake linear TV as a whole. Luckily, the streaming wars are far from winner-take-all, and many consumers are paying for multiple services given their vastly different content libraries. Netflix also continues to roll out a diverse array of shows, movies, reality TV, and much more in the U.S. and around the globe. It's landed deals with Hollywood giants in front of and behind the camera. And these partnerships also highlight the somewhat slow death of movie theaters, especially outside of the massive blockbuster releases, which have been dominated by Disney properties in recent memory. Plus, we should note the streaming TV giant is getting into the booming mobile gaming space. It already has a few mobile games, and it's continuing to explore what's next on that front. And then in terms of some free cash flow, we should note that what the company said last week, the company said, quote, "We anticipate being free cash flow positive for the full year 2022 and beyond. As a reminder, we prioritize our cash to reinvest in our core business and to fund new growth opportunities like gaming, followed by selective acquisitions." So it could possibly acquire smaller services and get into different things. Who knows? Maybe they'll eventually get into the live business or add advertisements to a lower paid tier or something like that. They've said they won't do those things, but you never know, especially as more and more competition is coming to the streaming world. They also said, quote, "We are targeting $10 to $15 billion of gross debt. We finished Q4 with gross debt of about $15.5 billion, and we'll be paying down $700 million of our senior notes due in the first quarter of 2022. So going forward, it's great to know that they're trying to not take on outside debt in order to fund their massive amount of content, which they've done in the last several years. They had to ramp up their own original programming as everyone else took theirs off to have their own streaming services. So they're now going to anticipate being free cash flow positive this year and beyond, which is great news. So in terms of their top and bottom line growth, we're calling for about 13.4% growth this year, from $29.7 billion all the way up to about $33.7 billion, and then another 15% growth in 2023, all the way up to around $39 billion. We're calling for adjusted earnings growth of 18% this year, and then another 25% next year. So this would follow adjusted earnings growth of 85% last year. So their bottom line is continuing to grow. And then in terms of about 13.4% growth this year, top line, and nearly 15% next year, this would mark a slowdown compared to what they've done before the pandemic, but it's always easier to grow when your revenue itself is smaller. So they're coming off a year of about 19% growth in 2021. So continuing to grow steadily in the mid teens in terms of top line growth is really impressive, especially for a business that's been around for such a long time at this point. There has been some mixed earnings revision activity since this release, but overall, the earnings revisions have trended in the right direction over the last several months. With this in mind, they've also crushed our bottom line estimates in three out of the last four quarters, including a big bottom line beat recently. In terms of the stock price and some of the valuation, Netflix was one of the top performing stocks of the entire 2010s, so the entire previous decade. It's still up about 150% in the last 5 years. With that said, that includes that 50% downturn since November when it was trading at $700 a share. It's now sitting at $356 a share, even though now that I just looked up, it's trading a little higher because it's down not as much since midday. It's down around 7% instead of 10%. Still, it's down around roughly 15% since November. These levels are noting that it was at one point the stock was trading at above these levels in certain points in 2018 and 2019. So the stock's essentially given up 2 years worth of gains in the blink of an eye. The drop coupled with impressive earnings growth has Netflix trading at decade-long lows in terms of forward earnings. It's trading at 29.5 times forward earnings at the moment. The last 5 years, it's traded as high as 161 times forward earnings. It's now trading at 29.5 times forward earnings. So decade-long lows in terms of forward earnings. It's now trading in line with Disney and at a huge discount to Roku, which is trading at 90 times forward 12-month earnings. So once again, Netflix is trading at decade-long lows in terms of forward earnings. This push also has it well below oversold RSI levels of 30 or under. It's sitting at 9 at the moment. So buyers are eventually going to step in after this bloodbath, even though there could be some more selling. But if you're a longer-term investor, you don't need to time things precisely. Wall Street also remains relatively positive on the stock, with 15 of the 28 brokerage recommendations we have sitting at strong buys, with 11 at holds and only 2 strong sells. Netflix itself is sitting at a Zacks Record for 3 hold at the moment. And if you're an investor who is considering buying Netflix at any point in the last 3 or 4 years, it's down 50% from its highs. It's fallen 30% in the last couple days. You might be a buyer at these levels, especially when you consider that it's going to continue, even if it's harder to get more and more users, it's going to continue to grow at a clip because they're on a subscription service. And streaming is still the future, and there will be more people cutting the cord. There will be more places to grow, and they're going to be able to get into new areas that we might not even think of at the moment. So certainly worth considering all three of these stocks as longer-term investments amid the massive market downturn that's continued on Monday. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.